just want to thank all of you who were a part of this for sharing with such courage and such open-heartedness. It's a really beautiful thing. So this is what transformation looks like. This is what it means to, in the words of the Apostle Paul, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, as we grow spiritually, we begin to see ourselves and life differently. We could even say that we are saved from an earlier way of thinking and being. But we don't say that in Unity. We don't talk too much about being saved, because being saved conjures up a whole different meaning that is embedded in traditional Christianity and not a part of Unity theology. Nevertheless, we needn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's another way of relating to these concepts of salvation and, yes, even sin that are compatible with Unity teachings, and they can be very instructive and useful on our spiritual path. But it requires that we take another look, that we re-examine our understanding of salvation, what it means to be saved, what we are saved from, and who is doing the saving. So let's begin by examining what the traditional church, the traditional Christian church, teaches about salvation. So the basic premise is that all humans are sinners, that we carry the stain of the original sin committed by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. So they disobeyed God and they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that made God very angry. So he punished not only them, but he punished all of their progeny, all the human beings who came after them. And so the core teaching of the traditional church is that Jesus, being born of God and a virgin, was not a part of that whole bloodline that had been stained with sin. And the basic belief is that he died for our sins. And in his coming onto the earth, that he appeased God's wrath, basically cleaned the slate, if you will. And that if we believe in Jesus, if we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, we will be saved. Well, saved from what, you might ask? Well, usually we think saved from our sins or maybe saved from an eternity in hell. But the underlying premise here is that we will be saved from God's wrath. You see, Jesus is sort of portrayed as the protector. He protects us from God's wrath. So we need him for that, because as I said before, in this teaching, God is very angry. So this salvation theology doesn't really fit. It doesn't really work very well for us in Unity for three main reasons. And the first is that it doesn't fit with our view of God. You see, in Unity, we don't teach, we don't believe that God is angry, vengeful, and mean. Rather, we envision God as loving and kind and nurturing. It's the image that comes to mind when we remember that Jesus called God Abba. Abba, a term, a personal term of endearment. Very sweet, and it meant daddy or papa. And so we remember this, and it brings up these feelings of a nurturing, loving, kind-hearted God. And in Unity, we teach that God is everywhere present and good. We also teach that the essence of God is love. And so we in Unity don't believe that God is vengeful, punishing, or capricious, or threatening. We also don't believe that God sent Jesus to die. What kind of an Abba would that be? In his best-selling book, Why Christianity Must Change or Die, the great Episcopal, former Episcopal bishop John Shelby Spong says, I would choose to loathe rather than worship a deity that required the sacrifice of his son. What would that say about the character of God if that were the case? In unity, we believe that God is loving. And we also believe that is what Jesus taught. And so the second reason that this more traditional theology doesn't work for us is that by saying that we need to be saved, it doesn't fit with our understanding or our view of humanity. You see, in unity, we don't believe that we as humans are born as sinners, that we're lowly and depraved, and that we are destined for hell unless we say or believe what the church tells us to. Quite the contrary. We believe that we were not born in original sin, but that we were born in original blessing. Blessing. It's like a newborn baby. It's a blessing. Born in the image and likeness of God, we too are good. God is good. We are good. And our true essence is spirit. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, as we say almost every Sunday. And so this inherent part of us is good. Our true nature is divine. And yet we are having a human experience, and that gets a little messy sometimes, does it not? Yeah, we make mistakes, we say things we wish we hadn't said, we do things we wish we hadn't done. It's all part of learning on our human journey. If we just make mistakes, it's not who we are. And in unity, that is our definition of sin. Sin, we take its meaning from the original Greek translation, which meant to miss the mark. Sin was actually an archery term. It meant you missed the mark, you missed the target. And so it is saying that we are not fully expressing our divine perfection. And that happens occasionally, doesn't it? We don't show up as our highest and best self. We don't regularly express all the divine attributes of intelligence, love, wisdom, grace, compassion. But we are saved from this missing the mark. We are saved from this sin when we wake up, when we remember who we truly are. It is an awareness that we are spirit and expression, and that we are one. And when we come into that awareness, our salvation, you could say, we are completely liberated from the ego and all its false beliefs, and we know all about those, do we not? It's the ego that will tell us that we're flawed or inadequate or not enough or broken or some of the things we saw on the before sides of the cardboard. When we come home to the truth of who we are freed from that. And what we know more than anything is that we are the beloved of God. We are the beloved of God. Each and every one of us. Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore says that salvation is not based on an outer expression of Jesus atoning for our sins, but rather salvation is a matter of an inner overcoming. It's a matter of a change in consciousness. And we in Unity are all about that, are we not? That is the spiritual work that we're about, shifting our consciousness. I believe that is what Jesus was about as well. And so the third reason that this traditional theology doesn't fit very well for us is that the idea that we must be saved or we will go to hell really doesn't fit with our understanding of Jesus' message. You see, Jesus was focused on this life, not the next life. He wanted to empower us, not diminish us, not shame us or make us afraid. He wanted us to know our full grandeur of who we truly are. He wanted us to be happier. It was all about this life. He didn't talk about the afterlife. And he said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. See, it was all about discovering the kingdom of God. And that kingdom was not in the next life. That kingdom is within us. And it was essentially saying that you will discover it as you grow in love and as you rise in awareness. The kingdom of God is within you, and it expresses through And as you follow me, I'll show you the way. The former Unity Poet Laureate James Dillett Freeman was once asked why he wanted to be a minister. And he said, because I want to help people hurt less. That really resonated for me, because I want people to hurt less too. I want each of you to hurt less. I want me to hurt less. And I believe that's absolutely what Jesus wanted as well. He didn't want us to hurt so much. In that sense, we could even say that really he did come to save us, if you will, to save us from our self-inflicted suffering. And it is self-inflicted suffering when it's what we're telling ourselves. You know, they say that pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. We're pretty good at inflicting our own suffering. And so he was shaking up our consciousness, trying to help us to get to see things differently so that we would have a different life experience, so that we would experience greater love and peace and joy, abundant life. And everything he shared was so life-giving. Become like little children, he said. Be innocent. Remember that sense of connection, that sense of grace you have, open-heartedness when you're a child. Love God, love yourselves, love one another, love your enemy, love freely and joyfully. Turn the other cheek, walk the second mile, forgive 70 times 7. He said, even if you have faith as tiny as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You see, he believed in us. He knew us. He was saying, being humble of heart and generous of spirit, and never forget that you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. How life-affirming is that? Yes. Right here, right now, in this life. And we decide how much we let our lights shine. And so I believe his work was really about transformation, shifting consciousness. It's what he wanted us to realize was the innate power within us. He said, what I have done, you shall do too, and greater things still. Reverend Eric Butterworth writes about this in his wonderful book, Discover the Power Within You, which I hope you all have read. Listen to this. He says, Jesus was saying, you can be free from sin, you can overcome, you can be healed, not because I am something special, but because you are something special. Because you, after all, are a child of God. You see, when we know that, we are set free. The late Christian theologian Marcus Borg wrote, perhaps the best contemporary synonym for salvation is transformation, to be saved from one way of life to another, just as we witnessed with the cardboard today, people being transformed from one way of thinking, one level of being, to another. Well, we see that a fair amount here in Unity Renaissance. We're blessed by that. And yet I realize that people don't necessarily walk in the door saying, I want to be transformed. People come here because they're hurting. You come here, perhaps initially, maybe not continuing on, but at least initially, because something's not working right in your life. You know, you're in some kind of pain. You're lonely. You're depressed. You're anxious. You're confused. You're feeling lost. And so you come to this place to quicken that knowing within you, whether you realize it or not. You know, we say our mission statement, I love our mission statement, that we transform lives that transform the world. But here's the truth. The church doesn't transform your life. You do. This is what you do. The people who come to Unity are so earnest and sincere, and help me get this. Help me live a better life, be a better person. You do all the work. We just provide that sort of loving, nurturing environment to help make it happen. Maybe a few insights here or there, a few new ideas. We're like the cocoon for your metamorphosis. Just like Ella's cardboard, caterpillar to butterfly. And the essence of that cocoon is love, and you know this. It's reflected in what we hear here all the time. It's inclusive, accepting, welcoming, genuine love. It's unconditional love. And that's the kind of love that changes lives. That's the kind of love that we could say even saves lives. Changes everything. I know this because I've experienced it here. Early on, when I was brand spanking new out of seminary and showed up here and, you know, very excited, but a little nervous too. And I, one Sunday, was sitting down here and I was a little jittery and about to get up and give my talk. And one of the longtime Unity Renaissance members was sitting next to me and obviously picked up a little on my vibe. And she leaned over to me and she said, "Just remember, Paula, we love you for who you are. I love you for who you are. We love you for who you are." What a precious, precious gift that is. And this, I believe, is what Jesus' message was really all about. You know, last week we filled out those what I'm grateful for cards, and they're all posted now on the gratitude board out there. Go take a look at them right across from the hall wall. And what you'll see is that the most repeated word on all those cards is love. It shows up in different ways as kindness, as acceptance, as fellowship, as warmth, as fellowship, community. But the essence of it is love. And that is how we are transformed. It is God's love. It is Christ's love. It is love, Unity Renaissance style. It's the love that unites us, the love that saves us, and it's the love that sets us free. Let's turn now to our meditation. I invite you to take a moment, close your eyes, get comfortable in your seat. Let's just take a deep breath in. Release and let it go. And one more time, breathe in deeply, breathing in spirit. Release and let it go. I invite you to move into your heart space, connecting there with the presence of God within you. And just for a moment, feel that loving, comforting, assuring presence. Beautiful light that is always there, even when we forget to look for it. And take a moment now to appreciate the ways in which your inner light has led you to this point in life. The ways in which you have grown and changed and transformed. Appreciating how perfect it has all been, how perfect it is right now. And open yourself to whatever guidance is yours to receive on what is next for your transformation in the silence. Thank you, sweet spirit, for our shared journey of awakening. Thank you for this very sacred and precious spiritual home that we love so well. Thank you for the amazing things that we have done and we will do together. We are ready to let our light shine. Thank you, God, and so it is. Amen.